October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The month is meant to raise money and increase public awareness of the most common cancer among American women. But for some breast cancer survivors, October can be a difficult time with constant reminders of a traumatic period in their lives. We're talking about Breast Cancer Awareness Month and how it can impact survivors. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you or someone close to you had breast cancer? How do you feel about Breast Cancer Awareness Month? Are you glad to see that awareness out there? You have mixed feelings, maybe, about being reminded of a tough time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Holly Burns is a freelance journalist and regular contributor to the New York Times, where she writes about wellness and relationships. Holly, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob.
You wrote about this recently. Holly, you're a breast cancer survivor yourself. Would you be willing to share a little bit about your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was diagnosed with breast cancer in November 2017. I was 37 and I had just had my second child. She was just 5 months old. So it came as quite the shock. I don't have any family history. I had no indication, obviously, that it would be something that happened to me. And I'm coming up now on, 5 years since it happened. So it's receded a little bit in the past, but I do find every October, it kind of brings a whole host of feelings up again. And so I wanted to write the piece for the New York Times to find out if other people felt the same way, which it turned out that a lot of the women I spoke to did. And to kind of just let people know that, if you do feel like this, you're not alone.
Can you talk about that? Both you and some of the people you talked to, what kind of things does seeing all the awareness, the pink ribbons and things like that, what kind of things end up being called to mind?
Sure. Yeah. There's several pieces of it. And I think for the majority of women I spoke to and for me as well, it's just this very present reminder. I've sort of glibly joked to friends that I don't like Breast Cancer Awareness Month because I'm very aware of my own breast cancer. Thank you. But it's more than that. It's, I think, as a survivor or even as somebody who hasn't gone through breast cancer themselves, but has had somebody in their lives who has, you're kind of always worried about it coming back and, it does get better with time and it does recede a little bit, but then something like an entire month dedicated to the very worst thing that ever happened to you, it kind of just throws it all back in your face. And, you've tried to get some distance from it and suddenly it's constantly in your inbox or you can't walk into the grocery store without, seeing pink cookies and stuff. So I think just sort of the reminder of it is difficult for a lot of people. And I think also there's an aspect of this idea of awareness can sometimes feel, and not always. And I also want to preface this by saying that this is my experience and the experience of some of the people I spoke to. And I obviously don't speak for everyone who's gone through this treatment or experienced this, but some of the awareness I think can feel quite performative. And I think some companies kind of see this month almost as a sort of a seasonal thing. They've got our Labor Day sale, and then our Breast Cancer Awareness Month promotion, and then our Halloween, and then our Thanksgiving. And even as a journalist, I've had pitches for stories around Breast Cancer Awareness Month that start, "Hi Holly, Happy Breast Cancer Awareness Month." And I think it's just like read the room. And I think that some companies kind of see this maybe as sort of carte blanche to kind of glom onto this idea of breast cancer awareness and use it as a marketing tool. And I think for those of us who have been affected by the disease and who have had terrible experiences that are related to it, it can be quite difficult to sort of see that used as a marketing tool. And then I think just the last thing is that often breast cancer is presented, particularly during October, as a monolith, that it's just this, it reduces it to this one experience. And I think that it isn't, obviously, one disease with one story and one treatment. It's so much more nuanced than that. And I think that, it can be hard to see a story being upheld as breast cancer awareness, fodder when that isn't maybe your story. Right. And I think that can be difficult sometimes
I wanted to ask about that in particular. A lot of times we see like the positive, you powered through and you did it and you got through breast cancer. And for some people, that's depending on the kind of breast cancer, that's not going to be the reality, right?
Exactly. And that is something that I found speaking to some women who had, who were later stage patients, that, they felt that only the happy narratives are presented and, the story of I went through it and, I had treatment and I learned these lessons or it gave me this perspective. And it's sort of this like redemptive narrative almost, that it isn't real. And I think that for a lot of women, it isn't real. And I think that there's so much less of a spotlight on other stories, like, you know, the fear of recurrence that is often with you, or, you know, women who are living with stage 4 metastatic cancer, women dealing with that, I think it makes them feel less seen because their stories are presented less often.
Talking to Holly Burns, she wrote about Breast Cancer Awareness Month for the New York Times and the sometimes at best mixed feelings that breast cancer survivors like herself feel when that month comes along and reminds them of what might be the most difficult, maybe even traumatic experience of their lives. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Holly, I hope that most people who have experienced breast cancer have supportive people around them, supportive and well-meaning people around them. Based on your experience and the women you talk to about breast cancer, what kind of advice would you share for those of us, you know, come looking in from the outside and wanting to say and do helpful things?
Yeah, I think that's such a great question. And I love that you're asking that. I think just for me, and then this was echoed also in a lot of the women I spoke to, a really helpful thing is just a very simple, you know, reaching out to somebody who you know might be finding this month hard and just saying, you know, hey, like, I just want to acknowledge this. I know that this might be difficult for you. And again, as I say, maybe it isn't. Maybe some women do like it, and they like, you know, the focus on awareness is so important, of course. But a lot of us, I think, do find it quite distressing and quite difficult. And I have found it very helpful when friends have just said, you know, hey, hope you're okay. Hope you're hanging in there. That has been very, very helpful for me. Just a quick text.
Do you have thoughts on how, you know, when businesses and public groups and nonprofits and fundraisers are trying to do, again, well-meaning good stuff during this month, do you have thoughts for them on how to do it in a way that maybe isn't so in your face, it isn't giving weirdly positive messages?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know that I'm no sort of marketing genius. I don't know that I'm equipped to give advice on that. But I'll tell a story that, you know, before I had been diagnosed, I hadn't honestly given a ton of thought to Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Obviously, I had noticed it, but it didn't have a personal relevance to me. So it wasn't something that I had been aware of. And then the first October, October 2018, so a year after I had been diagnosed, I got an email from a shoe company whose emails I got, and they were running a promotion for October where they were asking people to nominate a breast cancer survivor, and they'd send them a pair of pink shoes. And it troubled me because I thought, you know, what if these people don't want their stories told for this company's marketing purposes? You know, what if they don't want a pink pair of shoes? Pink is so intertwined with breast cancer. What if they don't want to look down at their shoes and, you know, be reminded of this? And then also, how is this even helping? There was no donation or anything made. And so I kind of, you know, I thought about this, and it sort of bothered me, and it troubled me enough that I wrote the company a few emails. I didn't hear back. Through a friend of a friend of a friend, I somehow wrangled a phone call with the CEO of the company, and I was able to explain this to her. And I just, you know, I wanted to put a real person in front of her and explain why this, you know, might be sort of a problematic campaign. And she was extremely receptive. She listened so well. And then a few weeks later, she sent me an email, you know, thanking me for the feedback and telling me that the company was making a $22,000 donation to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, which I thought was incredible. Obviously, that is, you know, not something that everybody can do every time, but it felt good to kind of channel my frustration into something that was going to help people. And I guess, you know, to make a long story short, I guess I would say that, kind of, you know, put your money where your mouth is, like, make a donation. Don't just sell pink cookies, or, you know, have your sports team wear pink socks or whatever, but make a donation to, you know, to a research based foundation that will actually be helping people.
And as we wrap up, Holly, if someone's listening who has experienced or is currently dealing with breast cancer, and they're nodding as you talk to, yeah, this stuff is kind of bringing me down, do you have thoughts for them?
Absolutely. I mean, I just want to say, first of all, you're not alone. It was very validating to me in writing this piece that I discovered that I wasn't alone, and that many other people did feel this way. So I would just say, first of all, you know, it's a totally valid way to feel, and many of us feel this way too. And then also, you know, some of the quick things that people I spoke with did is, you know, you can set up filters on your email and social media so that you're not seeing breast cancer related stuff. One woman that I interviewed, she did all her grocery shopping online for October, so she wasn't, you know, knocked in the face by, you know, pink Oreos and pink hummus and all the other trappings of the month. And then I think I just want to reiterate the point that you know, we've only got 11 days left of October. I have found, for me, it gets easier every year. And again, you know, you're not alone.
Holly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob.
Holly Burns is a journalist, regular contributor to the New York Times, where she writes about wellness and relationships. She talked to us about her experience during Breast Cancer Awareness Month as a survivor. Coming up, we'll talk to a clinical psychologist who works with, among other people, breast cancer patients. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a breast cancer patient or survivor? How has that affected, as you see it, your mental health? Is there something that helped you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up that conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about why October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, can be a tough time for survivors. And we're going to look at the broader psychological impact of having breast cancer, going through treatment. It can be traumatic. One study found that nearly a quarter of women who'd recently been diagnosed had post-traumatic stress disorder. Kathleen Ashton is a board-certified clinical health psychologist in the Breast Center, Digestive Disease and Surgery Institute at the Cleveland Clinic. Kathleen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you work with patients going through breast cancer treatment. Have they had similar experiences to our previous guest as they go through Breast Cancer Awareness Month and get these constant reminders of what they're dealing with?
I would say about 95% of my patients who are breast cancer survivors have a similar reaction to Holly, in that this is their least favorite month. There's a few people who really embrace it, but I would say for the majority of patients, it can cause some distress.
And we got some advice from Holly for people in that situation. What do you recommend for the patients you are working with if they're having a tough time during October?
I think Holly has some really good advice. I would limit your social media. I would educate your family and friends about what's most helpful to you this month. You know, many of them may feel like they're celebrating you by wearing something pink or shouting you out on social media. So just provide them with that feedback about how it affects you very honestly. And I would definitely do something nice to take care of yourself. You know, I think that Breast Cancer Awareness Month is great for raising awareness about screening, but for actual survivors, maybe it could be a signal to kind of do something for their self-care in a way that they're in charge of.
Stepping away from the Awareness Month in particular, can you talk about some of the mental and emotional health challenges that might face someone going through breast cancer treatment and afterwards?
There are so many different psychological aspects of going through breast cancer. So when you're initially in treatment, there is just coping with that initial diagnosis and hearing the C word and cancer. There's lots of anxiety and fear, as well as just the stress of going through the actual treatments. There can be a lot of body image changes. When you think about a mastectomy or hair loss or weight gain, that's common with chemotherapy. And then there's really a lot of long-term psychological impact for patients well into survivorship that I think the public's probably not aware of. So women who are breast cancer survivors, even when they're finished with their active treatment, may still have fatigue. They may still have fear of recurrence. They can often have some ongoing insomnia or depression. So it doesn't stop just after surgery or chemotherapy. A lot of patients have some long-standing issues from their breast cancer that they're continuing to cope with.
I wanted to ask you about coping with that fear of recurrence, a very reasonable and rational concern, I think, for somebody who's been through any kind of cancer. How do you talk to people about living with that kind of hanging over their heads?
Yeah, we think that about 70% of breast cancer survivors have what we call clinical fear of recurrence. And as you mentioned, some of them even a post-traumatic stress reaction. There are some really good treatments out there for fear of recurrence, but it is important to acknowledge that that is a very real concern. So the treatment's a little bit different than your standard cognitive behavioral therapy for anxiety. It includes a lot of acceptance strategies, a lot of working with their doctors about what the facts are about their particular cancer, and learning just different strategies to manage that anxiety, acknowledge it while not letting it take over their life.
And Kathleen, you work directly with the patients themselves, as I understand it, but do you have some thoughts for, you know, if it's somebody in our family, if it's somebody in our group of friends or even coworkers, What can that that nearby community do to be supportive?
I think that really asking patients for what would be most helpful to them is really important. Not assuming that they're excited that it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but maybe just checking in with them, saying, I've heard it can be a difficult month, and seeing how they're doing. It can also just be very helpful to think about doing something meaningful, a donation to a research foundation. I would particularly put a plug in for donating for research for metastatic breast cancer. This month is often seen as the happy pink cancer month, but women who have metastatic breast cancer are pretty aware that breast cancer is probably going to be the thing that causes their death. And there's really not enough research money going towards those folks. So if we could put in a plug for research dollars for those patients, I think that would be great.
We're talking to Kathleen Ashton, board-certified clinical health psychologist in the Breast Center Digestive Disease and Surgery Institute at the Cleveland Clinic. We're looking at not just the physical, but the psychological, the mental health impact of going through breast cancer treatment and surviving it that can last a long time after the treatment. Kathleen, you're a psychologist who works with people going through these physical ailments. It seems like, I don't know, I think about this a lot. People go through a difficult medical event and they don't get the kind of treatment you're providing. These are things that can cause depression and trauma and other consequences. Do we need more of this kind of thing in this country?
We absolutely need more of it. I'm so lucky to be at the Cleveland Clinic. Our program values psychologists and social workers as part of the team. And it gives us the chance to provide this kind of care to patients and treat them as a whole, their physical and their mental health. I think we're seeing a real need for mental health care in general in this country, but particularly when you're going through a major medical issue, psychologists can be a really nice part of your team.
If there's somebody listening thinking, you know, I'm going through treatment, I just went through treatment, I didn't have access to this kind of psychological treatment, what kind of advice would you offer them? What kind of suggestions would you have them to even just acknowledge that this takes an emotional and mental health toll?
Yeah, I think it's good to think about how is this affecting you, right? Think about your sleep and your appetite and your mood, how it's affecting your functioning in your life. If you're seeing a big impact, you know, if you don't have a psychologist as a member of your medical team, ask your oncologist if they refer out to someone in a private practice. Really think about what else you can do for your self-care. There's certainly lots of natural remedies, including things like exercise and meditation. You know, talk to your family physician about, you know, do I need an antidepressant? There's lots of ways to get mental health care. It's good to have that awareness first off.
Are there resources out there, whether online or support groups or whatever, that that can help patients, survivors, and caregivers?
There's lots of resources out there. I'm always a little cautious about support groups because they certainly can cause sometimes more anxiety than they help with. So you just have to find the right one for you. You know, if it's something that you find helpful, absolutely go for it. And support groups are available through social media and other outlets. I definitely would recommend cancer support networks in your community that often have more moderated support groups and services that are free to cancer patients. So if you just look up Cancer Support Network, you may find some local resources there as well.
We've mostly been talking about breast cancer survivors here. You mentioned that you work with people, you know, just after they receive this, the C word, the cancer diagnosis. For somebody who might be going through that right now, what kind of things do you offer? What kind of things do you tell the patients you're working with in that moment?
You know, I think it's important to draw on your strengths. So think about what in your world will really help you to cope with this. And that might be your spirituality, that might be your support system, it might be a really healthy lifestyle. And I think then, you know, to look at adding a few more tools to your toolbox as you go along with the disease is important. So it might be learning how to do a deep breathing exercise to help you with anxiety before your treatment. I also really recommend that people reach out for help and accept help. A lot of women are used to being caregivers And it's difficult for them to accept care from other people, but now is exactly the time that you should do that. So if someone offers to bring you meals or clean your house or give you money to get some takeout, you know, please say yes to that and accept help from all the people who want to do something that they can do to help. If they can't, you know, control your cancer diagnosis, at least they can help you.
And briefly, Kathleen, as we wrap up, if somebody said, hey, what, Kathleen, would you like to see Breast Cancer Awareness Month look like, do more of, less of, what would be your piece of advice for them?
You know, I would love to see it tell more real stories of women who are going through this. I would love to see it raise more money for research so that we can have better treatments for this disease, and to really, you know, continue the awareness of how important screening is. And I think that would be great.
Kathleen, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Kathleen Ashton, board-certified clinical health psychologist in the Breast Center, Digestive Disease and Surgery Institute at the Cleveland Clinic. She joined us for a look at the psychological impacts of breast cancer. Earlier, we heard from Holly Burns, a breast cancer survivor, who wrote about Breast Cancer Awareness Month for the New York Times and how it can affect, and not always in good ways, it can affect people who are survivors or currently dealing with the disease.